The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our very special guest, Dominic Sperano.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know it was that special.
Yes, you're that special awesome. Because you've been here three times.
Already. Yeah, this is my third time. Yeah.
In a year. This is like some type of record we have going on.
Yeah, like in 6 months, actually.
Yeah. So
and under.
Yeah, the year hasn't even been done yet, and you're already here three times. So that means you're going to be here at least another five times before the year is out.
Why don't you just give me a job?
Okay.
Well, by job you mean come here for free, like Carrie the intern. That's how we're gonna do that.
Yeah, I still don't draw a salary from Pronto, so I'm used to working for free when it comes to pop culture and comics. It's fine.
So that's how we usually do it, working for free.
Yeah.
Our very own senior correspondent Charlie Saladino will be gingerly walking in very shortly. He is on his way, and this will be the first time that we'll have Charlie and Dominic in the studio together.
I can't wait. Although Hassan is still ducking me for
Hassan,
some reason.
Hassan is still ducking him. Is Hassan on the phone? Or Hassan's not on the phone.
He's really scared of me.
He's having a protest against you.
I think it was after the last appearance.
Yeah.
And the whole, it's just a movie, man.
Yeah, I think that didn't go over so well in the world of Hassan.
He's like, I hate that guy.
I hate that guy. Yes, now you're his archenemy.
Apparently.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us, along with Brian, the engineer, and Kara, the intern, on the web camera right now, saying hi, in the high-definition web camera. And for those of you who have smartphones, I'm told if you get the TuneIn app, you can download the TuneIn app and you can hear us on your smartphone. So you don't even have to be
there. You should have told me that. I would have been telling everyone for like the past week.
I put that on the website and the Twitter and the thing.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, but just email me that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't email me that, man.
I didn't do that part.
Yeah.
I use the social media so much, I forgot to actually
the directly. Direct thing? Yeah. Because I know I've been tweeting about it a lot.
Yes.
That I was going to be here.
About your Indiegogo campaign, the Kickstarter campaign.
Indiegogo.
Yes,
the Indiegogo campaign. But then I know I tweeted, no, you do the Twitter, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's like a group, but I was the one that saw it. I was like, hey, we're also going to be doing this.
Yeah, so I immediately like changed tack and like just really started talking about how we're going to talk about Edge of Tomorrow.
Right.
You know, because it's your show. You're kind enough to have me on, so.
Wow. I never got compliment like that before.
Well, it's true that, you know, like I'm not trying to hijack your show just to talk about my agenda, you know.
Your hidden agenda.
Yeah, my hidden agenda of raising, you know, $4,500 for Pronto Comics on Indiegogo.
There you go.
It's called Leveling Up Pronto Comics.
So we're going to take over with the news as we usually do.
Yes. Who died?
I don't have my... That yes, we always start with the sad news.
Right, yeah.
I don't have my flyer with me. I lost my flyer to our sponsor. The Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing, located in Belmore, New York. I lost their number. So I can still say that they're part sponsor. By the Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing.
I always love that tagline, that copy they have. The Rat Bastards, you know.
Yeah, they're like, we're the Rat Bastards who will screw you over as we screw in a lug nut.
Right. Maybe they think like there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Maybe.
I think we go through this every time I come on. Like, what are they? This is terrible advertising for themselves.
No, it's good advertising.
Is it?
It's very good. So we're gonna start off with the sad news. I'm gonna go with the most recent news. This is something I had to actually just write down because usually I do the news ahead of time. Actor Meshach Taylor, who's best known for being on Designing Women.
Okay.
And he also played Hollywood in the movie Mannequin and Mannequin 2, which he starred in.
Oh.
Has passed away. Designing Women lasted from 1986 to 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away yesterday, and he was only 67. So
that is getting like young.
Yeah, you know? It's starting to get young when you're getting as old as I am. It's starting to get young.
Well, you look like, you know, a very young 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know that. Yeah.
So our thoughts and prayers out to his family and friends. Also, speaking of sad news, which I like to find it. It's just weird. Oh, here it is. Uh-oh, I lost it.
You lost it.
And I lost it. Maybe it's... That's weird. Maybe I didn't bring it in. Huh. I really thought I had it, and I don't have it.
You don't have it.
I don't have the sad news.
Oh,
here it is.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Oof. Oof. Film, TV, and stage performer Eli Wallach
died
on Tuesday. Eli starred in such films as The Magnificent Seven, The Misfits, Godfather 3, Executioner's Song, The Holiday, Ghost Rider, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, just to name a few.
Wait, he was in Ghost Rider?
Ghost Writer.
Oh, okay. It's like, because I unfortunately saw Ghost Rider, and I'm like, I don't remember Eli Wallach.
He was in the background.
Yeah, just walking with his cane. That's it.
Yeah. He was the guy that Nicolas Cage drove by on a motorcycle.
Yeah, there you go.
Perhaps most famously known, Eli Wallach was the ugly in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
In November of 2010, of note, less than a month before his 95th birthday, the Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts and Sciences awarded him an honorary Oscar, saluting him as the quote-unquote quintessential chameleon, effortlessly inhabiting a wide range of characters while putting his inimitable stamp on every role. He was 98.
You know, like, I'm sad that he just didn't make it two more years to hit the even 100.
Because he would have gotten a letter from the president.
He would have gotten a letter from the president. But, you know, like, congratulations, you haven't died.
congratulations that you haven't died? That's
what
you're going to do now?
You know, like, 98 is a pretty good run, though. I mean, think about it. 98, if you're 98 today, 30 right. years ago, you were still a senior citizen.
Yes.
Could you imagine that? Like, that's something.
Yeah.
You know. My first memory of Eli Wallach, actually, when I was a kid, for some reason I had like a tape of the old 1960s Batman TV show.
Right.
Where he was one of the actors that played Mr. Freeze. They had like three different actors.
Yes.
I always enjoyed that one, though, because he froze like Gotham Harbor for some reason.
and
he had a homing seal. I'll never forget that. He had a homing seal that could come back.
Right.
And that's how Batman traced...
Because he followed the seal.
He followed the seal. He traced to the, you know, because it was one of the icebergs that Mr. Freeze was hiding in. So he traced him to the particular iceberg because of a homing seal. I mean, that was pretty awesome.
Ah, yes. And that seal is long gone.
Oh, I'm sure the seal is no longer with us. Neither, unfortunately, is Eli Wallach. I don't like to call people adorable, you know, old people adorable. But really, I mean, he was like one of the most adorable old men ever seen. You know, and it's actually, I'm actually kind of sad. Like, normally celebrities die, and I don't feel like, but Eli Wallach is like.
From the desk of Dono Exparano.
Well, it's just because I don't know them
he's
personally.
He's heartless about celebrities dying.
Because I don't know them personally, you know. It's like,
so
I'm sad that I'm not going to see their work anymore. Like, Paul Walker died, that was sad. But it's not like I feel personal, sadness, like I'm going to have an outpouring. But, like, it's like America's grandpa died, kind of, Eli Wallach. I mean, like, everyone's known him.
Yes. All right, that's I'll take that.
Okay, I'm not cold and heartless. I'm just realistic and logical about it.
Moving along.
I'm getting the intern pretty good over
here. There you go. Carrie the intern is loving this.
Yeah.
Moving along to people who haven't died yet.
Awesome, but are on their way.
Actor Harrison Ford. Injured and possibly broken, depending on who you ask, because the rumors are all over the place. There is no actually official story. His leg, filming Star Wars Episode 7, which will take up to 6 months to heal. Rumors are all over the place as to how this is affecting the next Star Wars movie, from script rewrites to delay of release dates. All this is because of, depending on who you ask, the door for the Millennium Falcon fell on Harrison Ford on the first day of shooting.
You know, because I remember years ago they asked him, would you ever want to go back and play Han Solo? And he always said no, because there's nothing to that character. He knew then, but I guess the money was just too good. He knew then it would be the death of him to go, you know.
To take him out.
I mean, he wanted to be killed off in Jedi.
Right.
Like, you know, he didn't want to be alive. He's like, no, have me die in the carbonite and just come out. Like, I believe his words were, I have no mama, I have no papa, no one cares about me. Yeah, but Lucas being the genius that he was, like, no, I can't sell toys if you don't make it in the movie.
And so now he got taken out by a Millennium Falcon door.
Right.
Yeah. So as of right now, there is no official word as to what's going to happen from the Lucas camp. They're pretty much keeping this, you know, oh, he got hurt and that's it. Because this is a lot of money riding on this.
Well, yeah. And I mean, they already spent $4 billion to buy it from George Lucas. So now plus whatever else they thought they were going to recoup.
And, you know, and they lost their quote-unquote main star. Like,
yeah, poor Mark Hamill. He's the greatest Jedi of all time, and he still gets no respect.
Yeah, because
have you seen how Mark Hamill's gotten in shape?
Yeah, he's really getting into it because he wants to look good for the role.
I saw this great thing on YouTube. Mark Hamill doing the Joker voice and Luke.
Yes,
as if the Joker were telling Luke he's his father.
Yes,
he's like, get used to it, kiddo. You know, I can't do even nearly a good Joker voice as that. But
when we interviewed Mark Hamill, thanks to our senior correspondent Charlie Saladino, I have to give him props.
You interviewed Mark Hamill?
It was because of him I got to interview Mark Hamill.
Wow,
it was really one of those things that Charlie is Charlie's the showman. He's like my Stan Lee. He can go out and get all these types of interviews and stuff.
But he's the interviewer. He's the one with all the great questions. So I got the interview and I said, take it.
Yeah. Wow. And we went and he was right in front of us. And we
great interview, by the way.
Was here in the studio?
No, it was at the Comic-Con. 2 years ago?
Yeah, we walked in on Thursday, press day.
Yeah.
And I walked up to the so what's going on? Hey, do you want to interview Mark? Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
It's like, where do you want to be? Right up front, I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you get the opportunity, if you have a show like this and you have the opportunity to interview Mark Hamill, there's no reason to say no. And if you say no, you don't deserve the show anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, Charlie got it.
We go in all barrels blazing.
We went in and it's called complete segue. The experience of it was there was like a little round table in there and Mark Hamill came and sat down. What it was, they were promoting, let me give them all props, they were promoting a new gen, a new comic book that was coming out.
Right.
And Mark Hamill was like the figurehead and helping him out promoting this thing. And so what they did a round table. So we got to interview the creators of new gen and they rotated them out. And obviously, everybody was there for Mark Hamill. I mean, this was just who it was.
Mark Hamill.
Right. So,
I mean, I'll never forget in the Kevin Smith movie, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It goes, the plug, kids. It's Mark Hamill.
So we're all sitting there, and they all, you know, they're rotating around. And then when it's Mark Hamill's turn to come to us, like, eight other guys come on our table that we have. And they're all just sitting there, and, you know, he comes in. And I was doing interviews before, so I was talking to all the other people. Mm-hmm. And I guess all these people were there for Mark Hamill. So he sits down. He's talking before he's sitting down. He's talking. Charlie gave me the voice recorder. And I'm, you know, recording the conversation. And then he just stops talking. And I look around, and no one else says anything. So I'm like, I guess I'll say something. So I go, oh, you know, Mark told us something came from real. And I ask him a question. And he just starts talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And then he stops.
It was a dare to be great moment.
And I look around. And no one else says anything. So I'm like, I guess I'll ask another question. I ask him another question. And then the third time, the same thing happened. So I asked him a third question. And now his time was up.
So,
and they're all looking at me like, you took our interview. And like, no one else got to ask anything but me to Mark Hamill.
Because they didn't speak up.
It was so weird, though. And like, I'm sitting there for like a split second. I'm like, no one's saying it. I'm like, do we take turns? I'm like, I don't know how this works. This is my first, you know, round table interview. I don't know. So I just figured, might as well go first.
There you go.
And I went in and it just went. And then all the looks from everybody around the room looking at me, I'm like,
how dare you break the code?
I didn't know.
Yeah, well, it was more or less a one-on-one interview.
Yeah.
Mark Torres and Mark Hamill.
There you go.
It really was. And
interview
he did the
of the Marks. And yeah, which, again, kudos to me because I gave the right command over there.
Yeah. It was quite amazing.
Next, you're going to see, like, well, Mark Hamill exposes raw nerves. You know?
It was just amazing how that worked.
To go on a completely different segue, like, Mark Hamill would be someone I would love to interview. Who would you love to interview? Like, who's the person you haven't interviewed you'd want to interview?
Kevin Smith, Paul Rubens, and Bob Einstein.
Oh, really cool.
And those are my people I always wanted to.
Personally, I'd love to interview Neil Gaiman, and I sort of know C.B. Cebulski.
Okay.
And but I would love to actually get him on a podcast or like interview him, like, and have a long conversation with him rather than just a couple of tweets here and there and like, you know, ask him for beer recommendations and where to eat, which, by the way, he is. If you want to know where to eat in Manhattan or what beer to drink, SCB Cebulski, he knows.
Just, which is weird for a new segment. My favorite writer of all time, Peter David. I got to interview him, and that was like for comics.
He is like the nicest
guy.
That's
my guy, Peter David. Yeah. So once I got him, I was like, all right, I'm done. I don't need to talk to anybody else in comics. So
yeah.
So I guess going back to the news, Harrison Ford,
broken leg.
What's going to happen with that? Who knows?
Maybe George Lucas snuck on the thing and he just like, God, they're making it without me. And he just like jury-rigged it.
His money.
He's he's like Scrooge McDuck just jumping into a pile of cash and swimming through it at this point.
So say hello to our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladin, who
By the way, yes. I was going to call you yesterday.
Really?
Then I said, nah, why? no, but I was going to call you because... have you been hearing the Shyless stuff?
Yes, that's actually...
Oh, good. I'm glad you... Yeah, you're right on that, Mark.
Yes, I'm on you. So speaking of Shia LaBeouf as...
Oh, saw God. Then,
I knew you would... That would bring a smile to your
my
face.
My arch enemy is at it again. Shia LaBeouf was arrested at a Broadway musical cabaret on Thursday night. Shia LaBeouf was charged with 2 counts of disorderly conduct. Not 1, but 2. So he must have done something and then done something else.
Is he going like the Robert Downey Jr. route? And like, so he's 20 years from now, he'll have a major
renaissance? No, I think it's more a combo of Charlie Sheen and Joaquin Phillips.
Phoenix.
Phillips. Okay. Where did Phillips come from?
It's him and Richard Bay.
I'm telling
hanging
you,
out
it's
together.
The drugs. They kick in every once in a while.
So it was 2 counts of disorderly conduct and 1 count of criminal trespassing. Police say the actor was being disruptive during the first act of the Tony-nominated play. Law enforcement officials then handcuffed him during the intermission and escorted him out. Awesome. So they waited until intermission and then like, all right, let's go, buddy.
Well, because you don't interrupt the play. I mean, that's just
But he was interrupting the play.
Yeah,
so.
Being arrested is just as bad as having your cell phone on. You know, you don't want to arrest a guy during the play.
Wasn't there another issue, I don't know, another recently where he put a paper bag over his head?
We reported on that way ago. That was when he was at Cannes Film Festival. He put a paper bag over his head and wrote a sign saying that he's not famous anymore.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, we finally have the answer to who the unknown comedian is from The Gong Show, or Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
He's a Time Lord. He just goes back in time.
I'm actually happy that people are realizing that he's my arch enemy and they're rallying against.
I think he's American.
What's your rally cry? Shia.
He's strongly positioning himself to be the biggest jerk in Hollywood at this point.
So after that, now all he has to go after is Brian Austin Green, and then I'm set.
Well, like I said, I think Shia is a legend in his own mind. I think he.
Definitely.
I think he thinks he's the next iconic actor of the age, and I don't see that, but...
Everyone knows it's Ryan Gosling. Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
Have you seen him with his shirt off? Oh, my God.
No, and I don't want to.
Speaking of Ryan Gosling of his day...
Mr. Segway.
As mentioned before on this very program, John Wesley Shipp, who played The Flash in the 1990s, had been cast as a yet-to-be-named role on the new TV series Flash on the CW. In a move that's not surprising at all, and was hinted at our very own Dominic Sperano when he was on.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, Dom!
it has been announced that he will play Henry Allen, the father of Barry Allen.
Of course he will.
Okay.
Because Dominic was like, I bet he'll play the father. And I was that seems like a good idea.
What do executives say?
No, that's it.
Oh, I was waiting
anything
for the
to say about that
voice.
One. No executive have anything to say on
I think
that
I was
at all.
Specific. I thought he was going to play Barry Allen, and they were going to have like whoever the new Flash was going to be with Wally West. But I figured it had to be like some older version of, you know.
So
definitely.
So not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, speaking of older versions...
Mr. Segway, older versions.
LeVar Burton's campaign to bring back PBS's series Reading Rainbow, which ran from 1983 to 2006, has doubled its Kickstarter goal of $1 million on the campaign's first day.
Wow.
$1 million.
LeVar says, I am overwhelmed. It was an Wednesday was an amazing day and quite emotional. To have reached our goal in roughly 11 hours was beyond our wildest imagination.
I should call LeVar and ask him for
how
his,
did he do it?
How does he do it so we can do it for our Indiegogo campaign?
What he did was he offered people to get a chance to wear, just to wear the goggles that he wore on Star Trek.
Really? The visor?
Yeah, to wear it. And to have a dinner with him and amongst other Star Trek stuff. So that was the motion. But people also love Reading Rainbow.
I love Reading Rainbow. It was the greatest thing ever.
If that isn't all, actor Seth MacFarlane.
There is more?
Yes, there is more.
Hot be still.
Actor, writer, comedian Seth MacFarlane has agreed to match the $1 million contributions to Reading Rainbow. And it already surpassed, as of this reading, the $4 million mark.
So, like, there's no reason we can't have Reading Rainbow until LeVar Burton kicks the bucket, basically.
Right. According to the Kickstarter page, the money from the nearly 45,000 backers will be used to turn the show into a web version for families at home, creating classroom versions for teachers and giving free access to underfunded schools.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah, so like,
this is actually brightening my day as we speak.
He's actually not only bringing back Reading Rainbow, which was brought back in 2012 as a tablet app, but he's bringing it back to schools, underprivileged children, people. He's just getting the word out to read, which is
amazing.
For this time and day, he's doing this, and he already raised $4 million doing so.
You know, I think I know what his advice would be to me for the Indiegogo campaign.
What is that?
He's like, well, first have a show that goes on for like 33 years or something, or 23 years, and also be on Star Trek. And then you can easily raise $1 million in a day.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there's no Star Trek series, and
you could be in the movie.
But I could be in the movie. Yeah, there you go.
You could be in the movie and let people wear a chance to wear the shirt you wore.
Right, there you go.
In the movie.
Although I heard that they're planning on bringing Star Trek possibly to Netflix.
They want to try to bring another Star Trek series in the mix, yes. Mm. So that's just amazing for LeVar Burton, Reading Rainbow.
Congratulations,
well,
LeVar Burton.
Yeah, way to go.
The weird thing is, I've never seen Reading Rainbow, but I remember that song like it was yesterday.
Rainbow.
Yeah, everybody remembers the song.
I remember the animation and like the book opening and then like
yes,
the kid becoming a pirate and stuff and like the flying butterfly.
So that's quite amazing.
I saw a YouTube video of like LeVar Burton. He was in an audience and he just jumps on stage and just starts singing the first like four bars and words of Reading Rainbow. He's like, butterfly in the sky. And everyone just starts singing along. Because like he's beloved.
Yes, LeVar Burton.
It's him and like Henry Winkler's the Fonz.
And
yes.
Beloved American.
He's our Fonz. So if the Fonz came back, Charlie Saladino, and brought back Happy Days, would you be on that?
No.
No?
No, I would not be anywhere because I don't care.
Really? You don't care?
No, I'm lying. Of course I'd be on that.
No.
Just to hit that jukebox.
Now, if they ever needed, like, because this is the first time I'm, like, really sitting across from you. I saw you in your car.
Well, we met in a parking lot, Domino.
Yeah. I saw you in your car. But, like, if they ever needed someone to, like, Henry Hill's no longer with us, but if they needed someone to come in to like, be a Henry Hill stand-in, would you do it? Because I'm looking at you, and I just can't stop seeing Henry Hill.
Henry Hill, thanks for the compliment.
Just visually, I'm sure you're a much better human being.
Well, you don't know me. As in many roles I played in movies, I played that kind of character. I know it's hard to believe, but I have played that. I played, believe it or not, I played a Joe Pesci character.
Really?
Really?
Yes. Yes, and I will show you those tapes one day. Maybe I'll put them on the
the Facebook page. You have the mustache, right? You have the mustache?
No.
Oh, because that picture with you and a mustache is mind blowing.
No, actually, our friend Herman, who I have some news after
Herman,
your news.
Herman Shimpson, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We had a whole, he didn't have it, but this gentleman had a whole production company, and at the Melbourne Theater, they were showing horror movies, double features. They started doing that as a retro.
Right.
And it was midnights on like Saturday mm-hmm. nights. So what they needed was and the transition between movies in the beginning.
Right.
And the transition, they needed some sort of skit or some sort of short
right,
thing
to
keep
right.
people. So they decided to do the scene from Goodfellas in the bar, and we switched it to make it the concession. Sands. So we all got dressed up in the suits.
Wait, the scene where they killed Billy Batts? That scene?
That's the one.
Oh, that great
Only
scene.
Only Billy Batts was a projectionist. And I get to kill him in the projection booth. We beat the hell out of him. And we throw him in the trunk of Herman's Cadillac. And we take off. Unfortunately, at the end of that scene, there was a cop in the parking lot of the movie theater. And when we dumped the thing, and when I'm slamming the door on him and, you know, the back the hood on him, and we get in the car, the cop pulled in front of us, and
that was it.
Then you had to have a very long explanation.
Goes, no, he's alive, look.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, but
can you imagine if they did that nowadays, that they, you know, the movie theaters themselves would make like a little bumper between.
Well, that was the whole, and it was brilliant. That was the whole idea. So now,
but it would be
in the middle of that
thing.
In the middle of the thing, like Herman would be putting the projectors
right,
on.
Right.
Go, hurry up! You know, come on, we got to start this next flick. Hurry up! Hurry up! Come on, clean this up. Start the next flick. Let's do this. You know.
Did he yell at you to go get your shine box?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. It was like
get your shine box.
No, he made it a gum scraper. Because it was
a
theater.
Oh, that's even better.
You know, so it was like, hey, I remember when you used to scrape gum off the aisles here. You know, and I went back, well, I don't know if you heard, I don't do that no more.
Stories like this make me realize that people had imaginations well before YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, did you see that thing where they, like for 5 years, these group of kids like recreated shot for shot Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I did not see that.
Oh yeah, they recreated the whole thing, and they you literally watch this kid go through puberty as he's playing Indiana Jones,
right?
And eventually, Spielberg saw it and he was amazed by it, brought him out, talked to him about the making of the movie. It was a whole thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're actually at our halfway point. Will we take our
and
break?
And then we come back. I got news.
Oh, we got special more news.
Special news. Special announcement.
We'll be right back for Game Fun Radio.
Will we?
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Fly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And came from Rio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, and our very special guest from Pronto Comics, Dominic Sperano.
Thank you.
I'm going to just say well done with the intermission. Carrie, the intern, she did a very good job.
My compliments on the shirt.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Well, for the people who are not watching the webcam, why don't you explain? Yes.
I don't care about them.
You don't care about them?
No.
Okay.
No.
So awesome shirt. That's just like a bonus for people who are seeing us on the web camera
says,
right now.
Yeah. I'll tell ya. And it has the flag underneath it, blue. It's very lovely. And it looks wonderful on you, my dear.
So
thank you.
So I said that you had some news for us before.
Yeah, but I forgot
subject.
That damn break was so long. No.
Our eye in the sky. What? Oh, sorry.
Our all-wise and knowing and all, what did we used to call him? Because he was
Herman Shemp-Sinertia.
Shemp-Sinertia. Yes. Herman Sinertia and his lovely wife, Carol, are now grandparents. Their lovely daughter, Taryn, gave birth on Friday to a baby girl. I believe the name is Aviana Christina.
It's going to be like Caesar or something.
And that's the first and middle name. And they're running in a little complication, so we're all saying prayers. The baby has water in the lungs, so they're working on that. So hopefully everything will be fine, which I think it will be.
For those of you who...
Until that lovely baby grows up and sees Herman as her grandfather.
Grandpa Herman.
Yeah, Grandpa Herman.
For those of you who don't know, Herman Sinertia was with us when we started the new incarnation of the show It Came From the Radio. We lovingly call him Herman Shemp Sinertia, who was the fourth person who says he's going to be here and then doesn't. But then when he does here, it's just a train wreck of a show, which makes it awesome.
And if you look at our logo that we did the pun on Star Wars, Herman is in the little corner. He's the Ewok.
Yes.
Which I thought was brilliant of Anthony.
So this week we're going to do a little bit of the movie called Edge of Tomorrow and a little bit of Dominic's Pronto Comics Indiegogo campaign.
We should do a lot of Dominic's comics.
Really? Is there some reason why we should do that as opposed to talking about
Edge
of Tomorrow?
There could
be. Despite, the many notices I sent you.
One time when we were growing up together, me and Tom Cruise, he actually went away with my football and never gave it back, so I boycott all his movies.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yes. Oh, you personally don't see any of Tom Cruise's movies?
No. Well, no, actually, I do, but not this week.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to say, I've never, gone to the movies as homework before. I've watched a movie for homework, but I've never gone to the movies for homework. This is the first time. I was like, well, I got to watch the movie so I can go get on the show. So I was like, I'm going for homework. It was kind of interesting.
So you went in there with a different mindset.
A little bit. I also went in at a noon show and no one was there. So I'm like, that's amazing.
But that's the best time. Part of the homework. Because that's what we do. I used to do that Sunday morning, 10:30 show.
Right.
Yeah.
All by yourself.
All by yourself.
It's you and the movie.
I have been in IMAX 3D by myself.
Oh.
And I just think it's my living room, and I go like that every once in a while.
It was nice because it's I can text if I want to. No one's going to be annoyed with me, and I can tweet if I like to now, that kind of stuff.
So Edge of Tomorrow is the latest Tom Cruise movie about a time-traveling soldier trying to defeat aliens, basically.
I as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, well, what am I going to talk about? And basically, I would sum this movie up as Groundhog D-Day. Because essentially it's take the concept of Groundhog Day.
Right.
Take the D-Day invasion.
Right.
And for a healthy dose of aliens, shake it all up, Edge of Tomorrow.
That's actually a pretty good...
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Think about it.
I have something against Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Because it was based off of a movie called 1201.
Mm-hmm.
Which is based off of a mini movie called 1201, which is on Showtime. And they never seem to give credit to the 1201,
mm-hmm.
but everybody seems to love the Groundhog Day. So I'm always a little upset about the 1201 because 1201 was about a guy who lived the same hour over and over.
Oh, that's even, that's, and like, give me a day. Like.
And the best part about it was that, you know, so it was a 30-minute movie, so right. He lived the hour over and over again. And he actually found out what was happening, mm-hmm. and he was trying to stop it. But the time that it took him to get from where he was to where he needed to be was over an hour, so he could never actually get there to try and resolve the problem. That's what made it awesome. And it ended like that. It ended, he was stuck in a loop forever
right,
and ever.
Right.
So I was like, wow, what a concept that, you know, he didn't win.
Right.
And he was just an hour, and he was just, and no matter what he did, he died. He tried everything just to make it to that point, and he just couldn't do it. And that made it awesome. And then all of a sudden they turned into this, you know, crazy comedy with no one ever said, oh, we got this idea. Nope, it was all our original idea, and that's what bothered me about it. So every time he makes a comparison to Groundhog Day, bothers me.
Actually, it's amazing that wasn't made a TV series, because that's a great concept.
But it's an hour, so. Over.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good idea, really, if you think
24.
About it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
So what did you think of the movie?
I actually, you know, look, as we went over my last appearance, like, I always have the suspension of disbelief in a movie unless it's absolutely terrible. Now, granted, there are points where it's like, you know, I'm sure the science wouldn't hold up. And I don't know if Neil deGrasse Tyson got on Twitter and was like, no, this does not happen in science, because this seems like a movie rife for that.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. It was it clearly had some like anime mecha kind of like ideas to it, plus the Groundhog Day and like the slight undertone of a love story. I was wondering if they were going to Hollywood the ending,
which they did. They did.
But at the same time, I know if they didn't, I probably would have left annoyed from the film. Whereas, okay, they Hollywood the ending, like, it's all good.
I like when they don't Hollywood an ending, because I'm like, wow, they had the gravitas to actually do that. One of the movies that Charlie hates to no end.
Oh, please don't mention it.
Is
Skyline?
Skyline. Yes, thank you. Skyline. I liked that movie. Mm-hmm. Because at the end they did the, you know, wow, I can't believe they ended it like that. They did it, and then they Hollywooded it at the like a post credit scene, and that kind of ruined the whole movie. And then Charlie hates it because of that.
The worst movie
to
ever.
No end.
I had to do homework, so I couldn't walk out on it. And I was just thinking, please let this get better. Please let this get better. All right, good. He dies. Good. And then it wasn't, you know,
they Hollywooded the ending. I guess that's, you know, they want to appease the masses, but sometimes, you know, if you take a chance, you actually will make a better movie.
Right.
I don't know if you guys remember this movie.
All right.
But it was called The Black Hole.
Yes, I remember that, with the little robot floating around.
Yes. I actually read the book before the movie was made, and I thought it was going to be the greatest movie. No.
Never read the book before.
Never.
Or after.
No.
Yeah, well, the movie wasn't out yet, and all of a sudden they made, I'm like, wow, what idiots. But that whole Salvador Dali ending was like...
They went through, and then it was an ambiguous ending. Yeah, like, all right, did they make it?
This is the artist's rendition of what happens when you go through a black hole. You could have did a little more research on it.
It's what they do. It's because
somewhere in a black hole, there's a robot on a mountain.
Yes.
You know, but surrounded by molten lava.
And again, somewhere Neil deGrasse Tyson's just getting angry at this incorrect science facts. Who, by the way, he once said he wants to die by going through a black hole.
Well, if you're going to die, that's a good way to go.
He's like, that's the best way to go. I'm like, why? Because every atom gets ripped from your body. I'm like, I don't know if that's the best way to go, Neil. Don't know.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Yes. I would love to implode.
Yes.
So beyond the Hollywood ending, I thought it was very decent. It was entertaining.
Yeah. It was everything you'd want from like a summer blockbuster. It was entertaining. Yeah. There was good action. There was good effects.
Likeable aliens, likable characters. Because that's a problem with, I'm going to say, something like maybe, I don't know, a Michael Bay movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've only seen an hour of the 3-hour Transformer movie, which we're going to be talking about next week. But oh man,
right.
Like I say, I got 2 more hours of this. This is not good.
No, why?
At least it was entertaining. Tom Cruise is himself. Right. I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan either. I've only seen a handful of his movies.
You know, it depends on the Tom Cruise movie. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's like, well, it's just Tom Cruise.
I have a question.
Yes.
Was this comedy or?
It had comedic moments in it.
Yeah.
Although it's about death, but it's, you know,
it a tongue in cheek thing?
No, I mean, a little bit. The head's
it took itself seriously enough for the plot, but not too seriously. Like they never like just winked like, yeah, we know this is a stupid movie, but they kept it.
And that's important that the movie didn't take itself so seriously, let's say like a Man of Steel, that you can't enjoy it anymore because you're like, well, this is real. Then all these other things just stop making sense. But if you go that fine line where it's serious enough that you can be like, okay, I can go with, I'm with you with it, and it's ridiculous, but I'm with you enough, unlike the Fast and the Furious movie, where it's totally ridiculous.
Right.
They don't take themselves seriously at all, but you still kind of, you can go with it, because like, all right, this isn't serious at all, I can just go with it.
Like, there's a moment when they're in the barn, right?
Right.
Like, that's one of the lighter moments, where he's like, oh no, you like three sugars.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we've done this already, haven't we? And
right.
And like, you know, like, so it's, that's a moment like where they loosen it up.
Yes. Well,
I was saying that because Mark and I talk about this, you know, previews and promos.
Right.
On TV, they push it, the promos, like it's a comedy.
It's definitely not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy, but
because
it's not.
They,
but yeah,
they show that, and people are watching that. That's why I had to ask you.
A lot of problems was with that movie about how they were going to make it. I was doing some research on the movie, and they said that they had to do rewrites, and they actually started filming the movie before they had an end to the movie.
Yeah.
And they...
That only works like once, like one in every 10 movies. Like there's, for every Gladiator, there's always 9 terrible movies that do that.
And the advertising campaign doesn't know what to do, so they just kind of just pick one way and just go with it. So unless they get bad feedback from that, then they'll change their approach. Like there's something, there's at least 2 movies on the top of my head, which I can't name right now, that the initial trailer is one thing, and then they switch it to something else because it's not getting received because people are like, I don't know what this movie is about. I don't know if I want to see it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. There was some movie with like Josh Hartnett years ago that came out, like Wicker or something or whatever. And like I thought it was one thing. And then I go see the movie. I don't know why I was dragged to this movie to watch it, but I see it. And I'm like, this is nothing that what I was promised in the trailer.
Yeah, we have shows about this.
Yeah.
Right?
The Village, Shyamalan.
Yeah.
It was promoted as a horror movie.
Right.
So you go in and explain a horror movie, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is not a horror movie, but this is a pretty darn good drama. And if they had promoted it as a drama, I think it would have done better.
I think for that, it's like M. Night Shyamalan, it's got to be a horror movie. I'm like, no, he doesn't really do horror movies if you think about it. Well, he doesn't really do movies anymore either, but...
Yeah, people went in to see a horror movie like we were saying.
Yeah.
This sucks, but... It doesn't suck. It's a great movie.
I'm going to go with
but
Oculus.
But as a horror movie, yes it
with
does.
Oculus also, once again, not a very good horror movie, but a pretty good, well-done movie, Oculus.
Right.
I was sitting there like, this isn't so bad at all. This is pretty darn good. And that's one of the reasons why I'm stopping watching trailers because I'm just going to go in there. I've already decided if I'm going to see it or not. So that's pretty much all I need to do, and I'm just going to go in. Unless I like to play my favorite game, which is spot the end of the movie in the trailer, because they always put the end of the movie in the trailer, give or take 5 minutes.
Okay.
All the time, guaranteed.
Now,
22 Jump Street, I'm watching a trailer, you see a part of them in the trailer where they're falling from a helicopter and throwing a grenade. I'm like, that's the end of the movie. And then I'm like, yeah, I was right. So it's kind of like a little bonus when I do.
That's like jumping to shock.
Yes.
You know what I liked about the movie, though? They kept the aliens looking really, really alien.
Yes.
Like there was nothing that looked even close to a humanoid body about them. They're like all over the place, like shape shifting kind of like things. They kill you by just picking up and slamming you around a lot.
Yeah.
Like that I really liked. Like they didn't go with any. I don't know why they call them mimics. I didn't get that because I thought like, oh, maybe they're mimicking, like looking like humans or something. But I don't get that part, but I really enjoyed like how they made those aliens look alien.
And another thing I enjoyed also is the fact that it took him a long time to do it. It wasn't like, oh, 5 or 6 times. He went at least hundreds and hundreds of times, and he memorized every single thing. So kind of like a video game where you just have to memorize
that
every
was also
piece and puzzle. And yet they still kept it enough that you can appreciate everything that's going on with the characters and the thing. And I'm sitting there in the beginning. I'm like, all right, these characters are going to be important later on because they're spending so much time from the beginning of the movie. And then they just kind of pushed them aside.
Right.
And then, there they are at the end.
I like the part where the guy's like, he's like, you know, like, dude, let's not do this today.
Yes.
Like, watch, I'll close my eyes. And he's still like, now he can beat him in the fight.
Yes. So as movies go, it was on par, entertaining. Did you 3D, 2D? Did you see it in 3D?
No, I saw it in 2D. I hate 3D movies.
Really?
Yeah, I hate it. I think it's just a way to get someone to pay more money to see a movie. If I want 3D, I'll go to the theater because that's three-dimensional. If I when I go to the movie, I want 2D. Plus, I wear glasses, so 3D is annoying to me for glasses. So
I liked it in 3D. I thought it was it gave another level to it. Certain movies you should see in 3D. A lot of them you shouldn't. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
But this one, I would say if you're gonna see it, it's a good matinee movie.
Okay.
A
yeah.
Good popcorn movie. See the matinee, get a little cheaper price. Yeah. See in 3D, very entertaining.
You know, I mean, it should have done better than it has in the box office. It's kind of surprising that like low budget movie really beat it, but I guess because it brought the tween audience in. But then again, it might have also been that they didn't market it right.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's got all the earmarks of what a summer blockbuster should be.
Should be, and it was good.
Yeah, and it was good. It was an enjoyable movie.
I can only go back to Transformers because it's fresh in my mind how it's making $1 billion and across the board. Everybody's saying how they hate this movie, how they didn't like it, all the reviews, right. All the things. Everybody's saying it's the worst Michael Bay movie ever, yet it's probably one of his greatest making money movies ever.
Right.
It's all about the marketing.
Chances are that the movie, Edge of Tomorrow, I don't know what it's doing in the foreign Asian market, because like that's now what the big thing is.
Yeah, China, they love China.
Because like it's everything that like an Asian, you know, audience, as robots, I understand, it's got robots, got aliens, it's got like, you know, the whole exosuit thing. So it's probably going to make all of its money back and then some, kind of like Pacific Rim did last year.
Yes, yeah.
Pacific Rim did okay
here
in America, but it made a huge amount of money overseas, so we're going to have Pacific Rim 2.
Yeah.
Which, if you watch the movie, though, why will there be a Pacific Rim 2?
A prequel.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
There you go. So did we convince you to or not to see this movie, Charlie?
I definitely see the movie, but that stuff annoys me. Like Groundhog Day, I haven't watched it because of the going back. I don't think you're going to.
That's like 98% of the movie.
Yeah.
My question to you guys.
Yes.
You're saying it didn't make as much as... Tom Cruise always is very... He does a lot of different movies. His last two movies were science fiction.
Right.
Do you think that might have hurt this one? Because Oblivion was...
No, I don't think so. I think it's just the audience and the marketing. Because
he's very versatile. And all of a sudden...
I'll go with Harrison Ford. He's a big-time science fiction star. And that movie came out. Nobody went to see it. Ender's Game.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, he does everything. Yeah. So certain movies just hit or miss. And this one was just the way it was produced.
But it sounds great. I definitely will go see it.
It was entertaining. But if you're in a time travel loop, don't go see it. Oh, we're getting a wave. We got 5 minutes. So with 5 minutes, I want to take this time to give Dominic his due.
Oh, thank you.
So the general consensus is go see movie matinee, see the movie. Not in 3D.
Right. I would say, yeah, that's good. You'll enjoy 3D, it.
So Dominic, why don't you tell us what's going on with Pronto Comics right now? You mentioned an Indiegogo campaign.
Right. We're doing an Indiegogo campaign called Leveling Up Pronto Comics. And if you go to prontocomics.com, in fact, you'll see it right in like the toolbar. It'll say Leveling Up Pronto Comics, and you can just click on that. We're trying to raise $4,500.
That's it? $4,500?
Yeah,
$45 million?
Not $45 million. No, just $4,500. We've already done over $1,100.
All right.
So we've got some pretty good steam behind us, you know. And if you read the campaign, you'll say like, if we hit over $1,000, and we're going to keep the money. We did flexible funding. We keep that money, that's going to go for the printing of the books, the most important thing that we can do, right? But after that, if we hit 1500, then it'll go for printing of the books and events. And then beyond that, we have a list of things that we need it for, including promotional, miscellaneous things that we're going to need to buy, just a bunch of things. And the whole idea is to take the company from where we are now, which is about an inch off the ground. We're off the ground, I'll give us that. But an inch to go into like 2 to 3 inches off the ground, trying to get us to another level. If you donate to the campaign, you have your choice between 5, 10, 25, 50, 100, 200, 500, 1,000, and just fund the whole thing, $4,500. And it's a whole various list from getting 5 digital copies of the comic, of any comic that you want, to getting a whole comic book written about you and drawn, and you get like shout outs on Twitters, and you get an ad in our comics, and a ton of things.
So you're just gonna have a guy going me on the back page.
You know, it's funny that you said me. My managing editor Patrick Riley, he's making his own comic book. You know what he calls it? Me. He's got me 1, me 2, me 3, and I think he's working on me 4. And having a conversation about this book, he's like, "Yeah, so I'm trying to sell me." And I'm like, "Stop it! Grammatically, this is driving me insane." If you fund the whole thing, $4,500, not only will we make a comic book about you, we'll also get a table at a convention of our choosing. and give you 25 copies. You basically get to be a comic book star for a day. We'll make that happen for you if you want to fund the whole thing. But like, if you fund it, it's not really that you're helping the company. You're helping everyone whose dream it is to get into comic books.
Right, because as you mentioned before, you're kind of like the jumpstart for a lot of comic creators.
Right, so it's not like you're funding some guys to make like a movie. What you're funding is probably like 100 different creators, so on and so forth, making their dreams come true of making comic books and getting it out there, because that's what we do. We help other people. So by helping us, you help a lot of people.
And if you're interested in making your own comic, this is another good way to go.
Yes, of course. If you want to make like your own comic or your comic book about yourself, if you always wanted to see yourself in comic book form, just pony up $1,000, please, and we'll be happy to do it for you.
So what's the website once again?
It's prontocomics.com, or you can go to Indiegogo and just look up Leveling Up Pronto Comics.
Leveling Up Pronto Comics. So anybody out there, I think it's a good idea to do. These are always very different aspects you can try out for things, you know, it's movies, it's just reading Rainbow, obviously. But for comics, a lot of people do it, but this is something that's different. It's not just promoting one book. It's not just, help me get my book out. This is help the company, help others. And Pronto Comics is a really good group of guys. You can listen to our, what was the date that you were on?
It was like back in February.
Back in February, I actually have it on archives when Dominic was
on. Yeah, I pop it up every time I know I'm going to be on here. I'll put that back on for
people.
There you
go. So you can listen to it and you can hear more about Pronto Comics and how awesome they are. And I say help them out. So do you have a final thought on this?
Again, it's for an entire company with an entire amount of creators. Like, we have someone that we know, like Sean Von Gorman, who's using Kickstarter for his one comic book. And he already hit his goal and whatever, and that was like $8,000. We just need 4,500. And if you want to know why, it's all broken down on the Indiegogo campaign. So, like, we're straightforward with it. We're honest about it. We need this money for certain reasons. If we don't get it,
not for a new air conditioner for the office.
Not for new air conditioner, and not for like a really great bar, which I'd love to have. But for really helping out people and getting the word out about our company and spreading like the distribution and the awareness of Pronto Comics, which again helps hundreds of creators who are trying to get into the business.
All right, Charlie. Final thought.
Yes, I do, Mark. No, it sounds like a great, great idea. It sounds like the old Beatles Apple theory. Like, people don't have to beg. They could just, come in and you got it. And
Thank
I
you.
Think that's great.
Yeah.
So my final thought is go check out the Indiegogo campaign for Pronto Comics Level Up,
Pronto Comics.
And go see Edge of Tomorrow. And that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us.
Does it really, Mark?
Yes, it does. And every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go on to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. And don't forget to get that TuneIn app. Tune in. You can hear us on your multimedia devices. We'll see you next week.
Thank goodies.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Views expressed in the previous
My name is
program
Manny Morales.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.